Hello, everybody. My name is Edward. I think it's time that I clear up a little problem that occurred. I'd like to say first, I'd like to give you some background on my recovery work. One thing that I did was I went to a group in California, and I wanted to go to 3 meetings a day, which is extreme. You know, they suggest in the meetings to go to 90 and 90. I went to 3 meetings a day for 300 days. I was on site for 6 hours a day. So 6 hours a day times 300 days is 1,800 hours. 3 meetings a day times 300 days is 900 meetings. So instead of doing 90 and 90, I did 900 in 300. I want to tell you something. I sat through 1,800 hours of AA. And you know what I learned very quickly was that the preamble is completely, it's a come on. The part where it says that you're, the only requirement for membership in AA is a desire to stop drinking. That is completely a come-on. It's a bait and switch. We read that at every meeting, but the truth is when you come in, if you spend any amount of time at AA, they're going to offer you a book, and I want to promise you that saying no is the wrong answer. You're required to have the book, okay? You're pretty much required to have the book. You're required to be seeking out a sponsor. You're required to work the steps, you're required to get a higher power, and you are required to pray. Otherwise, you will be ignored, you will be insulted. I've received threats of violence, and then they will ban you. That is literally what happens. Now, the mainstream, more lukewarm members of the group will not be the ones to do this. When I was at this group attending these 900 meetings, the group would officially open up at 6 p.m. And I showed up one evening about 5:30. And this guy came up to me. I was sitting at the picnic table. I was the only person on the property. And he came up to me and he looked at me and he said, "Man, you ain't even in the book. You're a fucking bitch." That's what he said to me. I said, "Is it really like that?" And he said, "Yeah, man, you're a bitch. You're not in the book." Wow. And on another day, during those 900 meetings, they got so mad, angry, that I wouldn't get in the book, that I was sitting there on a Saturday or a Sunday. They had additional meetings during the day. And I realized that I was high on meth. They had put meth in my coffee because they were so mad that I wouldn't get into the book. And I'm going to tell you something. From my personal recovery work, I'll tell you something, very little that I did was more valuable than spending those 300 days sitting at that AA club. I learned so much about the recovery process. I learned a lot. I learned that a lot of people in the room are bullshit. I'm going to tell you one thing I learned. There's people in AA that have never tasted alcohol, but they're the ones carrying the big books around saying that they're alcoholics. There was one young man, of course he was not really young anymore, but he told his story finally, and because I went to basically every meeting at this group, if you spoke, I heard it. He said that he got arrested for selling magic mushrooms to police when he was 16, and that they basically gave him two options. They said, "You can go to jail, or you can go to AA," and I basically think they were getting rid of him. They didn't really want to prosecute him. He was just a punk kid. And so he came to AA never having tasted alcohol. And he read the big book and came to the conclusion that he's an alcoholic. I mean, I heard him speak one time and he said, "People, I can read the big book and figure out that I'm an alcoholic and I've never even tasted alcohol. Why can't you do that?" So I want to testify here to you right now that there are people walking around AA that are not alcoholics, but they are in the meetings with their big books, in love with the big book, and they... oh, they're company men, let's just say that, okay? I dated a girl in AA when I was in my 20s, and, you know, I wasn't hip enough about alcoholism to understand this back then, but she'd never tasted alcohol. Never. She told me she didn't like the smell of it. But she would go to the meetings. Now, she didn't carry a big book around with her, but she was definitely big book friendly. And she told me that she was an alcoholic. She used to identify as an alcoholic in the meetings. And the reason she thought she was an alcoholic is she thought that because her father was an alcoholic, that she had the alcoholic gene, you know, genetics. And so she thought she was an alcoholic, even though she doesn't like the smell of alcohol and she's never tasted alcohol. Isn't that interesting? So when I studied alcoholism and addictions, I wanted to, you know, understand all these issues. And so I understand that there are people in AA that very firmly identify as alcoholics, but they are not alcoholics. Okay? So anyway, short version is Janice Red and Kenneth and Sarah were basically the ringleaders of the sponsorship department at the Delta Club. Janice is high on her cancer narcotics. Kenneth is drunk pretty much every day he goes to the Delta Club, but I'm going to tell you something, he's a very rare alcoholic. You know, most alcoholics, if they're drunk, you can look at them, their body's wobbling, something, you can tell something. They got this glazed over look on their eyes, their speech is slurred, they're talking bullshit, but Kenneth shows nothing. Kenneth shows nothing, and I'm going to tell you something, he took me to lunch, and I watched him drink 4 margaritas over lunch at Chacho's. I watched him drink a 4 Loco at the gas station. I watched him get whiskey and beer. And he had a glass of whiskey and Coke sitting on the table that was big enough for me to put my foot into it. And he had a can of beer. What's that can of beer? It's got a blue and a black pattern on the, I think, on the can. And it's got a picture of like this raging bull, you know. Okay, is it some kind of malt liquor or something? I can't remember. Whatever it is, I don't give a shit. But, and Kenneth had synthetic weed at his apartment, which is not weed. Synthetic weed produces an addiction that is said to be worse than a heroin addiction. Okay? Synthetic weed will make you have major seizures, and synthetic weed fucks up your insides so bad that it'll make you uncontrollably have bowel movements. You will be standing at the checkout lane at your favorite grocery store and shit your pants. That's what Kenneth offered me at his apartment after badgering me for months at the Delta Club. Kenneth told me I had to work the steps in order like they are on the wall, which is a myth. Is it so important that you do the first step before you tell me something you're sorry about? You know, amends. If you walk up to me, shit-faced drunk, and you tell me, you got a syringe hanging out of your arm, and you say, "There's something I want to confess to you I did when I was younger," I'm not going to say, no, we're starting at the first step, buddy. No, I'll say, "What is it you want to tell me?"
Okay? Is it really important that you nail down the second and third step, you know, before you do your resentments? And do I really need steps to find God? No, I don't. Do I need multiple steps that tell me how to, you know, find God? No. You know? I've met people in AA that think that their laptop is their higher power. And I'm like, you're nuts. You're going to pray to your laptop? That's kind of stupid, right? Sorry, I'm making some tea. Anyways, Janice was high. Kenneth was drunk. Kenneth sat at his apartment and drank whiskey and beer and offered me synthetic weed while he had the big book open reading it to me. And I was just sitting there going, holy Jesus. I don't think I've ever seen AA get off the rails like this. Okay? Janice got so upset that I wouldn't submit to her little sponsorship demands that at one point Janice threw a hot cup of coffee in my chest. And, yeah. I was standing on the back porch of the Delta Club. And, Janice was blah, 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 in my face. Wouldn't shut up. She's high. I said, Janice, can we do this another time? You know, I'm going to tell you something. In any area of my life, there's nobody that can force themselves on me. Okay? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody that can come up and say, I'm your boss and you're going to do what I say. Hey, if I work for you and you say that and I don't like it, I can say, fuck you, I quit. Can't I? So there's nobody that's my boss. Now, there is law enforcement that says if you murder someone or you rob a bank or whatever, I'm going to put you in jail. Hey, I always have the option to not rob the bank and not murder someone, don't I? Don't I? So really, nobody's my boss. But Janice got so upset that one day she's on the back porch of the Delta Club and she's running her fucking mouth to me, high as a damn kite. And she had a large cup of coffee, you know. You know what she did? She chucked that hot cup of coffee in my chest. Yeah, I was wearing a black polyester shirt. You couldn't see it. If I'd have been wearing another color, you would have seen it. It would have made me look stupid. But wearing a black, like a polyester soccer type shirt, black jeans, yeah, I let it go. I made this little noise when she threw it at me. I went, huh? That's all I said. Wouldn't you say I studied resentments pretty well? And I learned that just because somebody does some dumb shit to me, I don't have to respond to it. You know, Jeff, the chairman of the board at the time, I don't know if he still is, he came up to me the next day and he said, Edward, I heard you had a problem with Janice. And I said, yeah. She threw a hot cup of coffee at me. And he said, what did you do to make her do that? You know, I want to ask anybody that's listening to this, what can I do or say? I mean, especially considering that if I was as low-keyed with her as I am with you right now, what can I do that gives another person privilege to throw a hot cup of coffee, I mean, even a cold cup of coffee. A hot cup of coffee, that shit hurt. That shit hurt. What can I do or say that would give you permission to do it? Anyways, little Sarah was upset that, or Janice was upset that I wouldn't do what she said. She wanted me to do these little homework assignments for her out of the big book, and I'm like, phew. No, it was nice. I'd just say, you know, I just didn't get to it. You know, and she'd get mad. She'd go around the room, tell everybody I'm drinking.
She'd tell everybody, Edward doesn't want to get better. I don't. And then, you know what rumor came back to me? Janice was telling everybody that I was only in AA because I was there to fuck around with the ladies. That I was a sex predator. And I'm like, wow. I almost wanted to cry when I heard that shit. I thought, God dang. Is it really like that? That I can have an active dope fiend aggressively pushing sponsorship on me? An active dope fiend and an active alcoholic, Kenneth. To the point that if I don't submit to their demands, that they'll have me labeled a sex predator? Wow. Holy shit. Holy maloly. You gotta be joshing me. Right? Wow. That's what she did. She went around and slandered my name to everybody. I remember one time this really sweet lady, Miss Randa, would come up and talk to me. I mean, what a nice moment that was, because Miss Randa is like sweet times 10. She's adorable. And Miss Randa would come up and tell me how she used to go to the rodeos and she would rope the calves. And truth is, I was sitting there looking at her. She's tiny, like a little teacup poodle, you know. She's petite. And I was sitting there thinking, you and what army of leprechauns would put a calf down? I was sitting there, I was listening to her story, just loving it. And I was thinking, you know, I could imagine a calf roping Miss Randa. But not the other way around. But, you know, I'm not here to call her a liar, you know, because I'm sure she did. You know, you can be tiny and still rope a calf. But anyway, I'm sitting there listening to that story one time, and I look over to my left, and there's Janice, high as fuck Janice, on her damn cancer narcotics. She's got her arms folded like she's disgusted. And she's making this nasty look at me. Like, how dare you have a conversation with someone in AA and you haven't met my approval? Oh, my. So anyway, the next time I saw Miss Randa looked at me with a scared look on her face. And I can only speculate what did Miss Little Janice, Little Miss Super Sponsor, high as fuck on her cancer narcotics, Janice Red. I can only speculate, what did she say? And Miss Randa looked at me like she was terrified of me the next time she saw me. You know, you only have to take a delicate lady like that and tell her that I'm really drinking and that I'm a sex predator. And she's going to get scared. Most people hear a rumor like that and they just get scared. You know, Kenneth took me to his apartment and drank whiskey and beer while he offers me synthetic weed, which is said to produce an addiction that is worse than heroin addiction. It'll make you have seizures and it'll make you shit your pants. So if Janice is close good time buddies with Kenneth, and Janice is high on cancer pain meds and God knows what else, and Sarah, who would scream at me at the Delta Club, Sarah would scream at me when I'd walk on the back porch. She would say, Edward, what are you doing here? Some people are trying to save their lives here. When in fact, really, the Janice, Kenneth, Sarah trio completely bypassed the sobriety obstacle and just went straight on to getting a degree in Big Book. That is literally what's happening here. And So anyway, Sarah would come into the lobby when I'm having a conversation, and whatever conversation I was having, she would interrupt it. She would stand directly in front of me and block my view of who I'm talking to. And I'm like, wow. So anyways, I'm sitting here and I'm like, you know what? I'm at the end of my life now. I did resolve my drinking problem. And I'm sitting here and I still have a deep depression. And I'm considering going up here and stepping off this bridge. I just haven't done it yet. I live next to a bridge that's 250 feet off the water. Oh God, not again. Oh no. Hello. I get calls about my Medicare like 20 times a day sometimes. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, so they're starting up. I'm going to tell you something. You can get sober. You can straighten out your whole life and still commit suicide. I'm going to tell you something. When I was banned from the Delta Club, it was because Sarah had come in one too many times and just forcefully hijacked my conversation I was having with someone. And I guarantee you Sarah's smoking the crack. I just guarantee it. I mean, she hangs out with Janice, who's high on dope. She hangs out with Kenneth, who's drunk as a fucking skunk. Half of Janice's sponsees, and Janice has 20 to 30 sponsees when she was alive. I guarantee you, Sarah's not sober. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. When Janice came in, or Sarah came in one time and just hijacked my conversation with little Shannon, and Shannon is a deranged alcoholic, and I was enjoying talking to her, and Sarah just came in and stole the conversation. I looked at her and somehow I called her the C word. Oh, that's all she wanted. She wanted to upset me to the point that I would say something nasty to her. And then she run around saying, Edward called me the C word, Edward called me the C word, and next thing you know, I'm banned. And I asked Jeff, the chairman of the board, I said, Jeff, why are you banning me? And he said, Edward, do you have a book? Do you have a sponsor? Are you in the steps? You know, Jeff is too fucking stupid to understand that I already did all that stuff. And he's too stupid to understand that Janice is high. And Kenneth is actively drunk when he comes to the meetings. And, you know, too fucking stupid. Really, literally stupid. You know what's a funny thing about the Delta Club? I mean, there's a lady who comes in and cleans up at night. And I asked her one time, I said, are you an alcoholic? And she said, no, but I have other issues. And then you know what she said? She said, but the board didn't want an alcoholic to do this job. They wanted someone that's a little bit more responsible. Okay? They wanted someone that's a little more responsible. You with me? Okay? They wanted someone that's a little more responsible. You know what that says to me? The board actually looked at this lady and said, we're hiring you because we want someone that's a little more responsible than our membership. See, the board of the Delta Club LLC, Limited Liability Corporation, doesn't mind taking control of the money in your basket, and that's literally what they've done. Okay? Did you know that? You know, AA groups used to operate kind of autonomously, if that's the right word. I mean, we would get together, we would rent a space, we would, you know, buy the chairs, buy the coffee pot, get a soda machine, you know, put toilet paper in the bathroom, and then we'd pass a basket. And you know what? Every once in a while, you know, the basket would pay for the rent, and then we'd figure out what to do with the excess funds. You know, we'd have a New Year's holiday. We would do something with it, right? And do you know what? I thought I had another dozen eggs. What happened to them? I thought I had another dozen eggs. Here they are. No? Where did they go? I guess I don't have one. Darn. Thought I had another dozen eggs. Huh, isn't that weird? I thought for sure that I did. Huh. Just don't have one egg left and some oatmeal. No problem. Anyways, this lady told me that the board wanted somebody that's a little more responsible. You with me? And which means that the Delta Club has such a low opinion of its membership that they don't think that you fit to sweep out the bathrooms. And to, you know, rinse out the coffee pot, take out the trash. They want to hire someone from outside because their membership is not responsible enough to sweep the fucking bathroom. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? And, so anyways, Delta Club just threw me to the dogs, and then they passed that rumor to the Bay Area Club, and they pretty much, they just got rid of me. They just threw me away like garbage, because I'm going to tell you something, all that the Delta Clubs of the world are after today is the money from the basket. They've turned it into their personal cash cow, and they honestly don't give a flying shit about you. They didn't care that Kenneth is coming there drunk to read the big book, as long as he's in the big book, right? How could you take Alcoholics Anonymous and turn it into a book study that doesn't care if you're drunk? How could you do that? I mean, that doesn't make sense at all, right? Right? Put some oatmeal in with my scrambled egg. Doesn't that sound terrible? There it goes, in there. Now in with it goes some hot water. Let's see how this turns out. Probably terrible. That doesn't sound good, does it? So anyways, I'm going to tell you what. I can't tell you how badly they treated me. And nobody has time to listen to me. You know, the funny thing is that there's people that go to the Delta Club, not alcoholics. This one young lady I used to go out with to have a soda, and she's about in her mid, early 20s, I don't know. And she, I one time asked her, I said, I said, what's it like for you when you're drinking? See, don't ask him, are you an alcoholic? Ask him, what's it like for you when you're drinking? And she told me, she said, I usually have one or two beers and go to bed. I saw her one day sitting in the lobby journaling about her powerlessness issues. And she asked me, she said, Edward, what's powerlessness? I said, that means when you start drinking, you can't stop. And I said, hey, why don't you Google it? You see, that girl's not an alcoholic. But Janice and Kenneth and Sarah force her to admit she's an alcoholic and force her to do journaling. And so this girl who's really, really just a little bit bipolar, she's been convinced that she's alcoholic. Did not. Whenever your drinking story is that you like to have one or two beers and go to bed, you're not an alcoholic. Anyways, I really fought hard to get sober, you know. And I guarantee you, I'm offended that my old Delta Club allowed Janice, high on her drugs, to assault me like she did. You know, I'm not looking forward to jumping off a bridge. I'm not looking forward to it. It'd be scary as fuck for, like, I don't know, about 20 seconds. I think once you hit the water, you know, I'm not going to enjoy that it's the middle of winter because it's fucking freezing cold water. But I'm betting that between it liquefying my organs and, you know, breaking my ribs and puncturing my lungs, and I already have COPD, you know, so. I'm assuming that I'll get knocked out real quick and the death will come really abruptly. You know, when I got banned from the Bay Area Club, then I went up to the Baytown Club, and they pulled the same shit on me. I would go to the Baytown Club, and Mike started insulting me, and I knew what it was about. It's because I don't sit down and work the book with him. You people, I'm going to tell you something. You people are fucking nuts. Nuts. Yeah. Me talking about suicide, am I nuts? Yeah, maybe. How could you people miss the preamble? You know who I really feel for at the Baytown Club? And that's a little young man named Joshua. Joshua is 110% a crystal meth addict. And these numpties have got him walking around talking about how he's an alcoholic. And he's not. He goes out and slips up and gets back on the meth every now and then. In fact, I've seen him on meth at the club. Okay? Seen him on meth at the Baytown Club. And I asked him one day, I said, Joshua, how is it that your whole story is about crystal meth, but you identify as an alcoholic? And he said, look, Edward, he said, when I'm out doing the dope, I sometimes enjoy having a couple beers. Hmm. Okay. That doesn't make you an alcoholic. No. I mean, if I'm doing meth, high, up for weeks on end, you know, with a little catnap here and there, but I have a piece of cake, and I enjoy having a piece of cake, does that make me an overeater? Does that make me a glutton? No. It's really shameful, because I'm going to tell you something. To get clean and sober, you know, really it gives you the best chance. If you're just really honest, you do an honest inventory, you learn how to deal with resentments. You know, things you've done wrong, you say, I'm sorry. You know what? If they won't accept your apology, move on. But you did your best. You know what? Come to have a thorough understanding of powerlessness and unmanageability. I'm going to tell you something. I could teach a short college course on powerlessness and unmanageability. And it damn sure won't be this bullshit where I ask someone, are you powerless and is your life unmanageable? Because that's how some people work the first step, and that is not working the first step. Many sponsors remind me of a 3-year-old running down the hallway with a butter knife in his hand claiming that he's a heart surgeon. No, you're not. Mm-mm. No, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. So anyways, I've been thinking about suicide. I hope that's okay with you guys. I don't know that I'm going to go just yet. It'll be a few days. I'm going to tell you something. I got badgered by a little lady who's high on her cancer narcotics, and she retaliated against me because I didn't want to do what she told me to do. That shit ain't going to happen, people. That shit ain't going to happen. I am not doing a fucking homework assignment for a little dope fiend. You get it? I'm not doing it. And I'm not going to do what an active drunk says. You know, I went back to the Delta Club after I went to Kenneth's apartment, or after I went to breakfast lunch with him, and he drank 4 margaritas, and he drank a 4 Loco at the gas station. And, you know, because I'm not actively in love with the Big Book, when I told him, I said, Kenneth is drinking very strongly, and he needs an intervention, they called me a liar and a troublemaker. Mm-hmm. They basically covered for him. You know? Basically, the Delta Clubs, the Bay Area Club, the Baytown Club, it's where corporations, you know, and any idiot can set up an LLC, you know. Any idiot. And basically, they've taken control of all of the money in the basket. You understand that? They've taken control of all of the money in the basket. And guess how much of it goes to taxes? None. It's a cash cow. Whoever controls the LLC has a cash cow in their hands. And in these hard economic times, I want to tell you that it's probably quite a big deal.